everyone. Hi, this is Bobby Elia, your host for our show, Let's Create a Better World. That's what we're here to do, to create a better world. We're all about that. We're on every week, Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. I am on the West Coast. I'm in Los Angeles. You get a perspective from all over the world, this country, and we give you something that's unique on the PRN. It's West Coast information. I know a lot of the shows are in the East for PRN. We're on the West Coast, the left coast. A lot of progressive things going on over here, so I want you to stay with our show. We're still a new show. We're going to talk about health continually, all forms of health, body, mind, spirit, activism. We talk about the GMO issue and all the things that we have a lot of ideas on how to make this a better world. And we talk about solutions, not just the anger and the hate and what's going on wrong. There are a lot of bad things in this world, but we want to make it a better world. That's the name of the show. Let's create a better world. Also, I have Gary Noel meetings that I run here in Southern California at least once a month. And our show is about, like I said, about health, every form, about activism. I've been an activist for many, many years. We talk about living longer, the right diet, the GMOs and how they're corrupting everybody and the world, but how we're fighting back and we're winning the battle. Talk about spirituality, to think positive, to be grateful for what we have, not what we don't have. Then we talk about the arts and culture, dancing, exercise, yoga, films, theater. We do it all, music. All right, so we have two guests today. I want to remind you to be sure after the show to rate us on iTunes. You can also get into the archives and see the show. And also, for your friends that don't have a laptop or computer, or they're in the car, or they're not near one, they can call this number and hear the show and hear anything on PRN. The number to call is 619-550-0869. We'll give all this information at the end of the show. Let me give you my number also. I want your critique, your information, your thoughts. My name is Bobby Elias, and my number is area 323-770-1925. All right. Today we have two guests for half an hour each. The first half hour, we're going to have a young gentleman. His name is Martin. He goes by Paco. We're not going to give him too much of his information because he's going to talk about some really, really deep-in things going on in Mexico, Central America, and South America. He's been all over there traveling. We're going to talk about the dangers of it, the drug wars, the corruption, the political scandals going on, and what's going on with all that. So there's a lot of things to talk about, and also he does a lot of health and juicing, too. That's one of the reasons he goes to Mexico. That family there, we're going to introduce him first, and then the second half hour, we're going to have on a gentleman named Eric Zen. He's an earth builder, something many, many of you never heard of. He uses built homes using the earth. It's been going on for about 25 years, and it's kind of new to mainstream. He does super adobe work. And he's building homes and doing a lot of wonderful things with it. He's going to talk about that coming on the second half hour of the show, starting at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific Time. All right, let's get to our first guest. His name, again, is Martin. We're going to call him Paco on the show. And we're going to talk about why he goes to his travels and so forth. Paco, how you doing?
Oh, doing great.
Good.
One of the reasons why I go to been traveling to Mexico, I had cirrhosis of the liver when I turned 40. So I went back to Mexico because parents left me some little ranch and three houses that were built in the 1500s by the Spaniards in a small town. So I started juicing. And after a year of juicing, I didn't have cirrhosis of the liver. And I continued to juice, and I lived on and off for the past 12 years there, 8 months out of the year, and then 4 months here. So I know a lot about the politics over there and how things are going.
Great, great. And so you have family there, and you go there, and you do some juicing and seeing your family, but you've had a chance to really see a lot of things. I know you're like I am. You're adventurous, and you want to know what's really going on, and you've had a chance to do that. So let's talk about you gave the reasons more about why you've gone to these places, Mexico, Central America, South America. Let's talk about that and some of the scandals going on, like the drug war. Go right ahead.
Right, yeah. The drug war started probably about, it didn't hit my state until about 2007, but the drug war over there is out of control, and I think a lot of people in the United States, they look at Syria, and the Mexican government does a really good job of covering up the drug war. I mean, but the battles that they're having down there are as large or larger than what they're having in Syria and right next to our borders. And basically the cartels are running the state. The federal government of Mexico, which is the president, he controls Mexico City, Estado de Mexico, Cuernavaca, and three other states. Basically, 25 of the states are controlled totally by the cartels, from the governorship to the small mayor of each town. And basically, the federal government only cares about these five states because these five states are the ones that bring money into the government. The other states, they don't give them very much military help, and the people are suffering over there. The state that I was staying at, I won't give it the name, the governor was elected with drug money. So, I mean, there's nothing, the people, he can't protect the people. And people, I've had over 100 friends killed when I was there. I finally got fed up and left. It's really bad.
Wow. That's great. Well, let's talk about the political parties that you know about and the corruption.
Right.
What's been that?
Yeah, the political party is we had the bond and power when President Fox took power. He wouldn't deal with the cartels, but he didn't take them on. And then his the second president was from the same party. He took him on in 2006 when he came into office, and he fought him to the very end. He was safer at that time. Now, Peña Nieto became president of Mexico just recently, and his philosophy is not to put nothing on TV, not to talk about the drug war, not to talk about who's getting killed, just pretend it's not happening. Where the party of the FAN would tell you exactly who they killed, what cartel they captured. They would always put it on TV. They would tell you what was happening. And there was an improvement. So but Peña Nieto, he just wants to cover everything up, pretend there's nothing happening, you know. He takes care of the resort towns, and he takes care of Mexico City. Basically where all the power is. And he really doesn't care about the other states because he was elected by cartel money too. And in lower politics, I have many family members that are senators, that are congressmen. And I hate to say it, but, you know, my own family members are part of that party. And, sad, but that's just a fact of life. You want to survive in Mexico, you really can't say nothing.
Right,
if you
right.
say anything, they'll cut your head off. And I've seen a lot of violence there. I've seen heads cut off and planted in front of the Catholic Church to instill
wow.
fear. I think
that's
people.
Pretty grim.
Yeah, it's just terrible, you know. So I left it. People don't realize Mexico was one of the safest countries before all this started. I mean, the homicide rate is very low.
Paco, you told me about one time we had a talk a few weeks ago, and you told me about how the drug lords were fighting with each other and how the government and the president couldn't do much about it, things of that sort. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, well, you know, you have so many cartels popping up, you know. You get rid of one, and they're popping up, you know, another one pops up. But basically what you have the Sinaloa cartel that is supported by the Army. You have the Mexican Marine, which is actually supported by the United States, and they're very clean and very loyal. But they're all alone. I have a personal friend that's the captain of the Mexican Marines, and he was very concerned when Peña Nieto took office that they were going to make the Mexicans corrupt too. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I don't think so, because the American government works very closely with Mexican Marines. They train them. Israel trains the Mexican Marines also. France has been helping train. It's a very good fighting unit. They're the ones that take on the cartels. The Mexican Army basically protects the cartels. So you kind of got government against government. The federal police taking on the state police. Open battles, you know, who has authority. It's a country without laws. And without laws, you know, I had a personal friend, a judge. He was killed, you know, standing up because he wanted to be straight. And his wife, they were beaten to death over a three-hour period in their home.
That's really, really bad news. Let me talk about something else here. We talked about, something I had here, the... what's going to happen in Mexico? What is really going on with the are people fighting this? Are activists trying to get together to do something about the corruption and about the drugs?
There's like a losing battle. There's a small amount of activists in Mexico, but they eliminate them very quickly by cutting their heads off. And there's very few that are brave enough to stand up. Basically, what happened is they went after the Gulf cartel, and they went after the Cetas. The Cetas actually moved to Chicago, and they're running Chicago, and they're running Phoenix, Arizona. They're running all the drugs. They're running a lot of the major town, major cities in the United States. They're in Huntsville, Alabama. I know people don't realize. A couple of years ago, they shot 13 police officers there.
Right, they're very good. Let me ask you a question about the United States. How I know that a lot of the drugs in Mexico and used to be Colombia are being imported and coming here to this country because the Americans thirst and need of drugs, and the Americans spend more money on drugs than any place in the world, and so these people are making their money by having the drugs sent over here and sold over here. Tell us about the United States, how they're involved with all this, how they're working with Mexico, and are they doing what's going on?
Well, if the United States wanted to stop the drugs coming across, they could stop it. It's not to their best interest to stop the drugs from coming across because it would eliminate a lot of jobs. So people are suffering. And people don't realize the second...
Right. Wow. Now, another question.
It's a rich country. It's not a second world class country. People think it is. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has the 11th highest economy in the world. So, the most terrible thing was when they broke up a lot of the cartels. That you got 3 million. Kids about from the age of 14 to 20 to the West.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question for you here. What about tourists? Can you give our American tourists or any tourists going from around the world, because this is a worldwide show, it's heard on the internet everywhere.
Right.
Tell our people, what advice would you give tourists about where to go and what to do and where to be during the day and not to go out at night, things of that sort. Please.
Yeah. Okay. I do not travel at night. I travel at night at all. You know, and, you know, you check with the United States Department. Basically, there's very few states to be safe. You take to Mexico City, protect Mexico City, to the best of their ability.
City, right, right.
Safe. Very, very safe city to travel. Beautiful city, go to museums and all that. Cancun is very safe. They have some problems, but the Mexican Marines there keep it pretty tight. La Paz is considered probably the safest city in Mexico. It's the Mexican right. Marines there keep it very safe. Puerto
Paco, let's talk about something more positive. That's a lot of things that our people need to be aware of what's going on. You've given us good information, but let's talk about juicing. Let me say this. I've been to Mexico, and there's juice bars everywhere. It's really, really great, orange juice and other kinds of juices. Tell us about that and how you got involved with that and why you do it and that sort of thing, please.
Oh, I started juicing because I used to be a heavy drinker, and I wanted to see if I could fix my liver. My kidneys down. So basically what I would do, because I lived in the center of town, I was a block away from Mercado where they have like 40 juicers. So they can juice it. And I would try to drink, I would work out in the morning. I would try to drink 3 juices per hour. And on large juices, 16 ounces of juices, I would start up with maybe 2 carrot juices. And then I would drink a banquito, a vampire drink that had beets, celery, apple, some herbs in it. And I would drink about 3 of those. That's 6. I used to basically drink about 10 juices between the period of 8 in the morning.
Wow.
To
2.
And
it really made
me
healthy.
Wow. Oh, it made me great. My whole life changed. My whole life changed.
Well, I see 2 things going on there. A lot of people do drink a lot of juices, and I'm sure it's helped them with their health. But a lot of people, not only in the United States, but in Mexico and other countries south of the border, they're not very healthy. The obesity is a big problem in this country among Latinos and other minorities and poor people. It's also a problem in Mexico. There's a lot of obesity.
Well, the number one consumer of Coca-Cola. It surpasses the United States. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So
that's really bad.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem in Mexico. People drink way too much Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And, you know, in some countries in Europe, in the northern parts, Switzerland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, some of those countries, believe it or not, they don't allow Coca-Cola in their country because it's so bad. Not just those countries, a few others. And there's others that put real tight bands on it. You can know, it's a good thing, you know. It's really, really bad, Coca-Cola. You know, it's got so much sugar in it. And let me tell you a story. I think you'll like this story. It has to do with Colombia. There were 10 young men that wanted to unionize against Coca-Cola. They worked for Coca-Cola. And the young men, they were all about in their 30s. They had families and kids. And they decided to start a union, 10 men. And so they started a union, and it hurt business for Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola, I believe their headquarters in New York, the board of directors, and they said, well, let's do something about it. So go talk to those guys and tell them stop. And they went to talk to them. They wouldn't stop. They kept going. So they had another meeting, and they said, well, what are we going to do? And so the head, 2 men got in the back room, and they said, well, 2 good head men. They said, well, the only thing I think we can do, get rid of them. So they went down to Mexico, Colombia, got a few goons, and they murdered, executed these 10 young men. And nobody knew what happened. Well,
I know a lot about the Coca-Cola company. People don't realize that the Coca-Cola company of Mexico is separate from the Coca-Cola company of the United States. They make it different. And they're owned by a Mexican commission. So it's 10 of the wealthiest people in Mexico. They own all the Coca-Cola in South America. They own a lot of the Mexico owns a lot of the Coca-Cola companies in China. They own all the Coca-Cola companies in all of Brazil and in Venezuela.
Wow.
And people don't realize how powerful the Mexican company of Coca-Cola is. They control South America and completely. Now, the president of Venezuela is trying to take away their companies there because they're saying, you know, hey, you're not in Mexico. This is our country. We should be able to control our own Coca-Cola.
Paco, I've covered just about everything I can think of. Do you have any more final thoughts for the next 2 minutes about what you want to tell our people about Mexico, Central America, South America, the good, the bad, whatever?
Well,
go ahead.
The good is there is some safe places to go. Listen, look up the U.S. Department of Travel. They'll let you know where the hot spots are, the safe places. And to drink juices. I tell you, juices saved my life. And if you ever want to retire when things get better in Mexico, it'd be a great place just to juice very, very cheaply. People don't juice because it's so expensive. You know, poor people are the ones that are obese.
Yeah, that's so true. That goes everywhere.
That's sad.
Yeah.
But have a good day.
That's one of the goals of the show, and that's the gentleman that runs this radio station, Gary Null. We've talked about it. He comes to L.A. once a year, and I meet him, drive him around. And we've talked about how we want to get more people of color, Latinos and other blacks, and to people to the obesity problem, the diabetes problem, and other major, major illnesses are going on because of all this. So what can you tell us about south of the border? All the health problems going on, what do you think, is there anything good going on as far as the movement of people to do things better?
Well, south of the border, it's getting worse because what's happening is you got Kentucky Fried Chicken opening up, McDonald's opening up, you got Jack in the Box opening up, you got Costco opening up, you got Walmart. So you're selling food that are not organic anymore. You're not going to get organic vegetables in those places. You're not going to get organic meat in those places. So that's not healthy, you know. And
Paco, yeah. on this show, we talk a lot about the GMO, genetically engineered food, and Monsanto is a big monster, and Dow. They've gone to Mexico right now as we speak. They're negotiating with Mexico to GMO, geometrically engineer all of the corn in Mexico, and you and I know that corn is the number one staple in Mexico.
That is terrible.
My grandfather lived to be 108 years old, mainly on corn and fresh vegetables. It's really bad.
Not good. That's not good. That's terrible. That's terrible. Terrible information you just gave me right now. That's not good for Mexico, and that's not good for the world, and not good for the people.
Right, right. Good, good. Well, you got another minute or two. You want to give any more final thoughts, Paco?
Well, you know, I think that if people are listening, they should push their congressman here.
Right,
Senator,
right, good.
Write to them. And we need to get involved with what's going on in Mexico. Put a stop to it because it's going to come here. It's already in Chicago. Chicago's at the highest homicide rate right now, and it's the cartel.
Right.
They took over all of Chicago, and they're running the drugs. They're running the drugs in the South. They're running the drugs in New York. They're ruthless. They're not scared. And they have a lot of firepower.
Is there anybody trying to fight
problem.
That? Because most of us don't hear about this. You know, you're telling me things that we don't hear too much about, the fact that in the United States right now, the Mexican drug cartels south of the border are coming in and taking over.
They've tried to move in the L.A. area, but what here we have the Mexican-American mafia that's controlled by the prisons, and they put a stop to it. But there's a little small battling happening up. I was talking to an LAPD officer, and he was telling me that homicide rate's going up, and it's because they don't want to pay tax to the AME.
Right.
So that we could have some major battles here. And, I mean, major battles, I'm talking platoon size, you know.
Right.
These guys don't play around. They come in with RPGs.
Yeah.
Not good. Well, not good for us and not good for Mexico. We got to do something about it.
Yes, I'm with you. And any more information, please be in contact with me. Let me know if you travel again or if you know other people that are traveling or any more information that's going on, and maybe we could have you on again to talk about...
I would love to.
I'd love to,
Bobby.
We want to talk about what we can do about all this, about going to our politicians, but that's not the whole answer. We've got to get to activism. We've got to write letters. We've got to go to certain places, certain key people that have some power to do something about this. This is really, really a bad situation.
Right. And that's the key is getting through people that have power that can actually make changes.
Right, exactly. Well, Paco, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll be talking to you again.
Thank you.
And stay healthy and stay safe. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you very much.
You're very
thank
welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right, our listening audience, my name is Bobby Elias. We just had on Paco. His real name is Martin, and he doesn't want to give too much information about himself, obviously, because he is pointing out things that are going on in Mexico, Central America, South America, the corruption of the drugs, the politicians. It's really, really, there's some bad things going on. Don't get me wrong, there are some good things going on also. We have to be aware of that. I mean, there are some wonderful places in Mexico to go travel. I love the beaches of Mexico. I travel to Cancun, Acapulco, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo San Lucas. It's a great, great country. I've gone to Costa Rica. It's wonderful. I love the West Coast, the beaches. They're building a lot in the southern part of Costa Rica. We have the Americas are a wonderful, wonderful place. Don't forget, we have a lot of history in the Americas. You go back to the Mayans and the Aztecs, and not only Mexico, but the northern part of Guatemala. Over 1,300 years ago, the Mayans were doing brain surgery. They were astronomers. They studied the stars. They were into health like no one else. And, they set up a mathematical system, algebra, geometry, and they put out the first calendar, the Mayan calendar. They're the ones that did so many wonderful things. Well, now we're going to move on to the next segment of the show, but let me remind everybody that those of you that are calling in to want to know about the... We used to have on for half an hour in the second half of the show in Spanish. I had several women co-hosts that helped me. I speak Spanish, and I had several co-hosts that helped me organize the show. It's a lot of work, believe it or not. And my main co-host, Maria Elena Fernandez, is an instructor at Cal State Northridge in Los Angeles. She had to go out of the country for a few months. So we put the Spanish-speaking show on hold for the next few months, and instead we're going to speak in English, of course, and all these issues that this show is about helping people learn more about it. We're here for the 99%. We're here for poor people. We're here for women. We're here for the people that are oppressed. And we're here to teach and educate people about health, home, everything to do with health, body, mind, spirit. We're talking about the GMO industry, what's going on there. We're talking about activism. And we also are talking about the creating a better world. What can we do about that? I expect to have some great, great names to be interviewed here in the near future, like names like Ralph Nader, who's run for president a number of times, and who's been the number one consumer advocate and activist in this country, in the world. We're going to have Barbara Marks Hubbard. She is the number one vegetarian in the world. She has some great ideas on how we can, what's going on in the world, with climate change, and all the things that we need to do better. We're going to talk about positive things. We're going to talk about movies, and we're going to talk about dance, yoga, and what's going on the West Coast. We're here to help you and give you the best information. Now, be sure to rate us on iTunes if you like this show. If you have suggestions, here's my phone number, 323-770-1925. Once again, my phone number to call me is 323-770-1925. And if you want to call the show, if you're not near a laptop or computer, call this number I'm going to give you, and you can hear the show completely. You can hear other shows. And the Progressive Radio Network is the best station in the world, fastest-growing station in the world. The numbers are incredible. They're going up and up. The number to call to hear this show is area 619-550-0869. All right, now let's go to our second guest. For those of you in that, que los que hablan español, those of you who speak Spanish, we're going to, no more today, un show para dos o tres meses más. We're not going to have another show in Spanish for at least 2 or 3 months until our other co-host comes back out of the country on some important business. All right, here we go. Our next guest, his name is Eric Venn. He's an earth builder, and he can explain what that means. This is something new to me. It's very, very interesting. This is a new thing in the mainstream. It's been going on for 25 years, though. It's using the earth, using Adobe, and they have a thing called Super Adobe, and they use the earth to build construction and homes and so forth. Eric, how you doing?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to have you here. Tell us about you, first of all, and then we can get into earth building.
Well,
tell us about your background. How you got into this?
Well, that's an interesting story because I have nothing to do with architecture. According to my original education, I'm an automotive engineer, but I got interested in sustainable living a couple of years ago. And one of the main factors, I think, of sustainability is being able to create homes that are in tune with the earth and healthy and environmentally friendly. And I started to research it, and I found out that Nader Khalili has been doing this for 25 years. And so I went to CalEarth, where CalEarth in Hesperia, California, is the mecca of earth building, really, and studied there. And then I started to teach there, and I'm teaching my own workshops and building structures made of earth. 95% of the material what we use is what we have right under our feet.
Wow, that's great. Well, this is a whole new concept. This is much more healthier than using. Tell us about the health aspect of why this is a lot healthier than other methods of construction and building.
Well, first of all, there's no chemicals involved in the building. I mean, with the stick frame construction, you need a whole bunch of different artificial materials, chemicals that you have to use to preserve the wood, to make it waterproof and many aspects of it. And earth building, really, it's just earth. We use polypropylene bags, which is artificially manufactured, but that's just probably like less than 2% of the total material that we use. We also use barbed wire, but as I said, like 95% of the material is natural earth, right from under your feet. And the other aspect of the health benefits is really the geometry of the buildings. Most of the buildings that we build is a dome, like if you can imagine a natural beehive shape, or vaults, which is like a tube cut in half and laid on the side. These shapes channel energy in a way where it's kind of hard to explain, but once you're inside, you feel the difference between being in a building of this shape or being in a room with corners and edges and everything. It's very different.
Do you have a company, and what are you doing now? You're building homes, buildings, or tell us about that.
Yeah, mostly my business is teaching workshops. What my kind of mission is that to spread this knowledge and to teach as many people as I can how to do this, because this is really such a simple way to build that practically anybody can learn it. I do 1 week workshops, and within 1 week you will be knowledgeable about the basics of it, and basically you can just read a little bit up on it, and you can just go and build your own house. So basically, I'm teaching these workshops, and of course, I have customers who hire me to build, create a building for them, to help with the design, help with the actual building as well.
So, Eric, then you must have a few people that go out there with you and they work for you, or they work with you to build these homes. Is that right?
Well, really, it's a community. So it's not like I have like a group of employees. Earth builders are a community, and whenever I have a workshop or whenever I have a build where I need people to help me out, I just reach out to my friends with whom I got in touch through this whole earth building community and see who's available, and then we team up and we know each other. We have been working together, so we know the process. So it is just great to work with these guys, and they know what is the next step. They keep their eyes open. So these groups, when we bring a group together for a build, it's almost self-organized, and everything goes great without having to have like a core
right.
team of people as in employees, a group of employees. That's not how it works. It's just an amazing experience. Every build is like new friendships, and it's just a great experience to do it together.
Oh, it sounds very interesting. So for those of you that are tuning in a little bit late, you're coming in right now, this is Eric Venn I'm speaking to. My name is Bobby Elias, and our show is called Let's Create a Better World. And I think this falls right in line with that, too. I think earth building and using the earth is something. Tell us, Eric, this is very interesting to me because, as you might have heard me earlier talking about the ancient ways of the Mayans and the Aztecs, which are many, many, many. In Egypt, you have so many, in Rome, and you have so many great cultures from way, way back. Tell us how this work that you're doing is really an ancient thing that happened, how people were doing this way, way back. Tell us about that, please.
Well, the roots of super adobe are in the Middle East. Nader Khalili, who came up with this idea, he was from Iran, and at one point in his career, he went back from the United States to Iran to study ancient Middle Eastern architecture, and that's where he found out things that inspired him to come up with super adobe. The dome building is very traditional. The arches, really, all these geometrical forms that we use in earth building are based on the principle of arch, and arches are big in the Middle Eastern architecture. Of course, not only in the Middle Eastern, but that's where his roots were. So he brought all those ideas and principles back to the United States and started to experiment. How can we these ancient building principles with modern materials and create a technology that is very easily accessible for everybody? And that's how he came up with Super Adobe, which is basically using these polypropylene woven tubes and barbed wire to create these shapes. And he was always saying that we're using the materials of war, being sandbags and barbed wire, to create something that is peaceful, something that is uplifting, and something that is empowering for the people who are involved.
Yeah, you know, I'm a real student of history and about the history of, as I mentioned earlier, Egypt and Italy and some of the ancient countries, all through the Americas, Africa. There are many cultures, but how about the pyramids? They were built not only in Egypt, but very similar ones were made here in southern Mexico and in northern Guatemala with the Mayans. And in Egypt, they must have done something along the lines of earth building. Tell me what you know about that. How did they construct all these buildings, these pyramids?
Well, it's interesting that you're asking that. I don't really know if there's any part of what we do that could be connected to the pyramids, but I had many customers and students who asked me that question. Could you build a pyramid shape out of earth bags? And the truth is I never tried, but I don't really see why not. But I don't know of anyone who really tried to build a pyramid shape with the earth bags. But I don't see any obstacles in it. It would be interesting to try it one time, even if just as experiment. But as I said, I don't know if anybody tried it before.
Well, Eric, I know a lot of people that are into the whole the history of the pyramids, et cetera, and I'd love to find one person that has some information that can tell to you and I. And as I spoke to you earlier today, we talked about possibly getting together and talking about promoting your work. I think what you're doing is wonderful, and the young man that introduced me to you did a great job, and I think what you're doing is a whole new concept on Earth and using Earth to build and to teach people how to do it. Your workshops, that's phenomenal. I really admire what you're doing, and any way we can help you, we will. So tell us a little more about earth building, about how and where you get the what type of earth is the best to use, and give us a little insight on what happens at a workshop. What do you teach people?
Okay, so basically the workshop is built up, the curriculum is built up around the build. Well, the way we structure the classes is, what do you do first when you decide to build an earthen structure? You have to create a design. You have to understand the principle of the arch. Those are the first classes. Then you have to examine, and this is the answer to your first question, that you have to examine the kind of what kind of soil you have on the property where you're building, because the main principle is just use what you have, and ideally you don't have to buy or transport anything to the location. So you have to make sure that the soil that you have there is appropriate for this building, because not every soil is good for this building. And most of the times, even if it's not ideal, you can amend it. You can bring in a little bit of sand or bring in a little bit of clay if you don't have enough, and mix it in with the native soil that you have. But it's very important to know what exactly do you have. And then after that, we start the actual building. We dig the foundations, which is not even close as big and complicated as with traditional building. It's a very simple thing. And then we start to fill in these bags with the mix that we create from the earth. And basically, we create rings. We put these rings on top of each other, smaller and smaller and smaller, and then we end up with the natural beehive shape when we build a dome. And all the classes, all the practical parts of a workshop are built up in a sequence as you would do those things. You would take those steps in an actual build, since my workshops are actual builds, really. So it's a necessity to do it that way, but it's also very useful, because people can build the information based on previous information that was already delivered. So you can build your knowledge up from the bottom.
Wow, that's great. What's the future of your work and about earth building? I think this is something that is probably, you know, there's so much in interest in the environment movement is growing, solar is growing, and wind. There's so many new things, and this is kind of falls in line with all that. What's the future of earth building?
Oh, absolutely falls in line with that. I think that is the future path. That is the future path when the earth building is basically the structure of the building. It creates the structure of the building, but how will it function? How will an environmentally friendly structure will be able to operate environmentally friendly? So to find that out, I went to New Mexico last October, and I participated in an earthship build, which is a different technology from Super Adobe. But the internal systems of earthships designed by Michael Reynolds are just amazing. They use water like three times over and over again, and they have heating and cooling systems without practically moving parts, without using electricity. Those buildings are able to exist completely off the grid. And what I'm trying to do is to connect earth building, Super Adobe, the structure, with those systems that make this environmentally friendly structure be able to operate also environmentally friendly. So I really think that's the future of Super Adobe, and that is the direction that I'm taking with my endeavors right now.
So those are your plans to build on this, and tell me about what you want to be doing 4 or 5 years from now, along with what you're doing now, how you want to improve it, and how you want to teach more people and get this out in the public more. What are your ideas?
Well, there's a lot of things and ideas in the works now. A friend of mine contacted me not so long ago. They want to establish like an experimental site where we could do these workshops and build experimental buildings, like how do we connect our chips systems with the Super Adobe. Everything that you want to teach and everything that you want to develop, first you really have to try it before you go out and tell people that this is how it is, because it may not be the way that you thought it first. So first you have to experiment with it, and this site that my friend dreamt up would be a perfect spot for these things. But there's also a lot of inquiries coming in for build, when people want to go ahead and build a house and live in there with their families. So that's another direction that I'm going to do. And I'm really hoping that even 5 years from now or 10 years from now, I will be able to run these workshops. Really, my feel, and I think I already said that, I feel that my mission is to teach people how they can get away from that mainstream, let's work to pay the mortgage, and that then we have somewhere to sleep, and then we can go to work to pay the mortgage, so we have somewhere to sleep. You know, this vicious circle. You can really break that if you invest a little bit of time and a little bit of money to learn how to do it. It is possible, and that's the future, in my opinion.
Wow. So, Eric, people can save a lot of money doing this. Tell us about that, and how somebody that's on a limited budget would like to do something. Well, they have money, of course. They have to have some money. It can't be small money. But some money where they want to go in the suburb of the country or some area that's open and build something, earth building. How can these people do it, and how much less expensive is this than the so-called mainstream normal ways of construction?
Yeah, the financial part of it can be a little bit deceiving, and I see a lot of misunderstanding amongst my customers and my students on this one. Obviously, the material costs are like a tiny fraction of those of a stick frame building. You use 95% of the material you're using is the earth right under your foot, and if you already have your land, you have your building material. You need a little bit of, you know, these polypropylene bags, and you need some wood, some lumber, not too much. The thing is that as much the material costs are lower, this building method is very labor intensive. So if you have to pay every minute of every person who is working on your build, you end up still less cost than if you build a traditional building, but you will have significant costs to cover. Mm-hmm. However, if there's a group of people, let's say five families, decide that we all want to do this, and they help out each other and they build one by one, I would say within a year or two, all five of them have a house where they don't have mortgage on, and they can live in for the rest of their lives, and not even just them, but even their children and their children's children, because these buildings stand there until, I don't even know, but at least 400 or 500 years, or if they're well maintained, even longer than that.
Well, this is great. So your workshops, tell us about those. We're going to wind that show down. I want to talk about what you do, how your workshops, and then we can talk about how people can get involved. Tell us about what goes on during your workshops. How long does it last? And tell us about that, please.
The workshops are 6 days. Usually we start on Monday, so this way the traveling to the location and the traveling back home would not take away time. They don't have to, people who participate don't have to take time off of work for the travel, at least. So we start at Monday, it runs until Saturday. And if we have a good, motivated group of people of 10, 15, we practically finish a dome. We're able to finish a 10-foot diameter dome in 6 days. I run these workshops in different locations. I had this year one in Tecopa, in the middle of the desert. It was a great group of people, and also I had one in Fillmore a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just working on one in September, which is going to be here in the Hesperia area, and then in the winter, December and January, we're going to have one each month in Mexico, Baja. So it's always in a different location, but I always announce these at least 2 or 3 months ahead of time, and we do a lot of promotion, mostly online. The cost of these workshops are $950. I think it's something that you really get the worth of in a workshop in terms of knowledge and how to create your own home.
Well, that's great. Now, for those listeners that aren't familiar with the areas you said, Hesperia and Fillmore, these are desert areas that are on the outside of Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a huge, huge city, and there's four or five counties that are surrounding it. They're huge. So they're the most spread out area in the world is Southern California. And this gentleman has his Hesperia is one of the main places. He's out in the desert, the high desert. It's very hot, but it's an area where people are starting to move to quite a bit. Let's get your final thoughts for a minute or two about your work, what you're doing, the future, and how this can be beneficial to people. And let's give me a little bit of information on that, please.
The benefits are I really think that you can live a life outside of this have to pay the mortgage kind of circle that we most were in at one point, or we still are in, and I think that's a great benefit if you decide to live in an earth building, which you can build yourself. The other one, of course, the health benefits that we already talked about. The energetic properties of these buildings are amazing, and not having all those chemicals around you and breathing all those chemicals and the off gases in what you have in a wood frame building, that's an immense benefit. And really, to get a bit of feeling of it, what it feels like to live in something like this, you would really have to be in one and visit CalEarth. California Earth Art and Architecture Institute has an open house here in Hesperia every first Saturday. Actually, one is going on right now, every first Saturday of every month. So they have like 20, 30 of these buildings there, and you can just look at it, hear the history of it. It's great. Oh. And my job is educating. I really think that's what my job is and teach people how to do this.
Well, Eric, we've got to finish the show. Give us your contact information. Please, slowly and clearly, how can people reach you?
Well, the best way to reach me is through my phone, which is 973-908-2216. Or my email address, which is my name, Eric, E-R-I-K, Vain, V-E-N, 96, at gmail.com. And you can find me also on Facebook, where I announce all the workshops ahead of time.
Good. Listen, Eric, thank you so much for wonderful education information about earth building. We think it's great. And we'd like to speak to you again soon. So thank you very much for coming to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me and giving me an opportunity to spread this information out.
You're very welcome. You're wonderful. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Very good. All right. And now let me just finish the show up by giving you a little last-minute thing here. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes if you like the show. I'm going to give you my number if you have some ideas on who you like. What you like. Hello? I want to get your ideas on what you want to hear in the show in the future. And my phone number is area 323-770-1925. Now, for those of you that can't get into the computer, don't have a computer, laptop, or are not near one, and you want to hear this show or any show on PRN, call this number, area 619-550-0869. You can hear all the shows in the archives, and also don't forget to rate us on iTunes. If you like the show, we're looking for the good ratings, of course, to keep this show going and keep it active. We talk about health. We talk about activism, how to live longer, the GMOs, what's going on with that, spirituality, how to be grateful and be happy and be at peace, how to beat off stress. Then we talk about the arts and culture, such as dance, yoga, and exercise, fitness, power walking. We talk about what's going on the West Coast. Most of the shows in the PRN are in the East Coast. We're going to give you a West Coast perspective, not just Southern California, but throughout the whole West Coast. All right, so thank you so much for calling. I'll give you my number one more time, 323
770-1925. My name is Bobby Elias, and we're here every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. In the next few weeks, we're going to have some great shows. Make sure you hear the promos that are on during the week. That will tell you what we're doing. Also, we're on the website, so make sure you stay. But above all, rate us on iTunes and keep listening to the show. Tell your friends about it. We'll be back on with the Spanish-speaking information on in the next couple months. So anyway, this is Bobby Elias checking out. I want to thank our engineer in New York City, Greg. I want to thank the producer, Jason in New York, the producer in L.A., Jimmy D. I want to thank our guest, Eric Van, that was just on, the Earth Builder. I want to thank Paco. His real name is Martin. He is a traveler throughout Mexico, Central America, and South America. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in again and rate us on iTunes, and take good care. Stay healthy.